Welcome, 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 2024, four is fours.
Wow.
Welcome to Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything. Our first episode of the year, brand new year, brand new us.
Yes.
We got brand new podcast art.
Oh, yes, we do. Isn't it Merry so great? Christmas. That was all done by Kelsey Double Dick Down Dara.
Thanks to Canva, I am Zach Noe Towers.
You're so good at Canva.
I would do it in a heartbeat for a full-time job if someone would allow me.
So in a different timeline, you're like a graphic designer.
Yes, and I work for an influencer who needs constant graphics.
Yeah, I think you're bigger than that. I think you're doing Orbitz, you're doing Snickers, you're doing...
I'm sorry, it was the first thing that came to mind. Orbitz gum?
You know, yes.
Why does that brand have a chokehold on you?
Orbitz, I don't know. But
what
was
that about?
You know, honestly, the colors are kind of you.
All right.
They're like frosty, but like blues and pinks is what I'm picturing.
Okay. Like pastel.
Yeah.
I mean, my office is a color wheel.
It is.
For sure. Oh my God, you guys, our live show is like a month away.
A month. Can you even? And we have it confirmed that some of y'all have bought plane tickets
to come see us.
I am so, so jazzed.
Like, I forget that people like us the way that like I like
things.
Podcast host, yeah. That I would be excited to see. And I'm so excited for Chaos and Kisses.
Also, someone pitched that we do Florida, and I think we should do a homecoming show for you.
That would be hilarious.
Right?
And it's all homecoming themed. Prom. Sure.
Maybe it's in the spring.
I like that for us.
You know?
I think we should also do a Canada tour, because we got big Canadian audience.
I would love. Do we have to lie at the border, though? About what we're doing there?
I was like, about what?
About like, we're not like working.
Oh, we're just here to party.
We're just here.
We're just here.
Did I tell you this the last time? So I went to Canada for a week to visit a friend.
Bragging.
Between cruises. You last year. Yes. Cool. And when I got there, the customs guy goes, so why are you here? And I go, just visiting a friend. And he goes, where's your friend live? And I went, oh, I don't know. And he's like, you don't know? And I was like, no. And he's like, is he here to get you? I go,
is the friend in the room with us?
He goes, I think he sent a car. And he's like, you're just going to get into a car and go somewhere?
Wait,
and
I was like,
now I'm insecure, but yes.
And you're saying all of this, and the guy has no idea you're a stand-up. So he's like, oh, this guy's walking himself straight into prison.
Yeah, he thought I was crazy, but he let me through.
Speaking of Canada, I don't know why I'm remembering this, but last night when I was doing podcast art stuff, I looked at our reviews, and you guys know how I feel. I tell you every week for the last 4 years, if you're not going to rate it 5 stars, please don't write it.
Were there a lot of threes and fours?
Because I am sensitive and I can't handle bad feedback. And some woman from Canada wrote a very long, like 3-paragraph review on iTunes about how our episode titled Horror Cruise Stories was not enough about cruises.
I believe in that one. I listed like the 10 most like crazy cruise stories.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't enough for her about cruise stories. And she also didn't like our language.
Like, what's that? English? Oh, she thinks we're like...
Very politely tell her to fuck all the way off.
And how many stars?
1.
You're kidding.
1.
Ew.
If you're going to give constructive feedback and you give me like 4, all right, I'm listening to you because I'm hearing you.
That's so annoying.
And you know, and none of the negative feedback was about you, Zach.
Oh, really?
None. That's couldn't find a single bad
actually,
thing.
I find that fascinating. But you've also, a majority of your reviews are from when it was just you.
These were recent.
Okay.
These were 2023.
Wait, but you're making it sound like there's like there are several negative comments.
No, no. For the new year, could we start off fresh? Could you guys go ahead and give us a 5-star rating? It really does help us.
Yes. Like, and reviews and sharing. Yes. Even if you just send it to like
a friend.
Yeah. Or your drug dealer or whoever. Yourself. Just, I think it's them seeing the click that it was shared.
Yes. And that helps us on the charts. And then, because I was also looking at the charts last night being like, these people are on the top 200
really?
Podcasts.
And we're not.
We sometimes we are. It's okay. Every episode it changes, but like for the year review, we didn't get on the top 200, which was unusual.
Because you do
usually.
Damn it! You see, that makes me think. The
no,
world
it
at
wasn't
large
you.
Said,
it was we don't like my Zach. Inconsistent audio quality. I know who I am, y'all. I know it's bad.
I will say, okay, the reviews are okay. This is so people need to feel powerful.
Uh huh.
And you and I probably don't have the desire to rate something 3 stars and no. tell why. We just don't have the time. But people really do feel powerful in the rating review section.
I think I only leave negative feedback when I know it's affected me in a way that someone needs to hear about.
Oh, same, same, same. It's like, okay, if you got food poisoning from a restaurant.
Someone called me a fucking dyke while I was eating at IHOP once.
Sure. So avoid that location or yeah. IHOPs in general. Was it the waiter?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was the waiter. I wouldn't leave a review. If
wait,
someone...
was it really for the from the waiter?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I know.
IHOP, do better.
I thought I was not to like femme blast myself, but I was looking pretty feminine that day too.
Dude, even you with your dykiest haircut, you are femme looking.
That's fascinating. Did we had this conversation off camera earlier.
With my after hours show, one of the first reviews was when just the preview was up and it was 1 star, no episodes.
Who what'd they say?
They literally said one star, no episodes. Because episodes hadn't started
to
come out
yet.
That was
the review. Yeah.
And I was like, this has gotten out of hand.
That is fucked up, and fuck you, whoever left that review. That's hilarious. Honestly, I'm okay with it because that's hilarious.
No, you bitch. Maybe that okay. waiter was right.
We've gone way over. Okay, so we're doing a live show, New York and Philly, February 6th and 7th, respectively. Please go buy your tickies. Links are below. Housekeeping.
How is it you're getting worse at the soundboard?
I hope we get to bring this to New York.
That is your carry-on item, just so you
oh
know.
Oh my God.
Housekeeping. Okay, so I'm getting my gum surgery today.
Yay.
And it's something I've like been like, cool, 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 cool. And then today I was like,
oh my God.
What if I die under the knife? It's like truly.
For the record, he's having local anesthesia. He's awake the whole time. In
honestly,
a chair. And they told him he could drive, but I insisted I should.
Yeah, you're right. Well, the receptionist is like, don't drive if you don't have to.
Oh, she's Russian. I forgot.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm nervous, I guess.
Yeah.
Enough.
Pain, I think, was what you're nervous about, is to feel pain.
Yes, it's the recouping. Yeah, it's just it's fear of the unknown.
Yeah. But we'll know very soon.
We will know very soon. And I love, you know, like, I think as you get older, you do like adulting in some mm-hmm. ways, like you like checking things off the list. Mm-hmm. And this is like my nasty ass gums. I'm checking off the list.
You're being real mean to yourself about this, and I don't like it because
no,
it's not a thing I've ever thought about with you. So
they're like,
stop
not
it.
Nasty. They're just, there's not enough of them. Did you know I had a friend though who had too much gums?
I had a friend that had too much gums.
And they cut, and this is crazy because she had it done, the removing of the gums. Uh-huh. And everyone was like, oh, someone got veneers. Someone, no, they just revealed. They just did an extreme tooth
they
makeover.
They did move that bus, but
gums.
It was gums.
Yes.
I mean, what a treat, right?
Yeah, who knew?
Oh, I'm excited.
It's like when you pull up the carpet and there's wood floor.
Well, when you showed me that, when you pulled up the carpet and showed me your wood floor this morning, because I was like, I really don't think you have that much tooth. You do have a lot of tooth.
I have a lot of tooth.
But I don't see it.
Right, because I have big, luscious lips.
My housekeeping is I officially own cum. I officially legally own jizz.
Which she's been trying to. Kelsey's one of the only girls who couldn't find cum.
I was like, someone pour it in my hand, give me a dish, put it in my fridge, whatever. No, I finally legally signed the paperwork. I now own vials of my friend's jizz that he donated for my embryos.
How many vials are we talking? Do we have like one for walking around cum?
I don't think there's a spare cum. I don't think there's an apocalypse go bag kind of cum situation. I think it's more like...
The concept that cum would be in your go bag is so funny.
You laugh now, bitch, when we need to repopulate the earth and y'all are fucked up.
No. Because the guys who survive are going to be the most virile cum.
Oh, I was thinking it was going to be like radioactive.
Oh, well, let's see what happens.
All right.
What if your kid could fly?
Oh, actually sick. I'm kind of... Maybe we do one that's like...
One regular, one
go cum. I'm excited to now own it because now I can... I don't care so much about making the embryos. I just love the idea that I can do whatever I fucking want with this cum.
So you could technically sell it to a higher
bidder. I don't know if the paperwork allowed that, but I think so.
You need a better lawyer.
Well, don't say that. My lawyer was fast and speedy and made it easy on me. But I'm just excited now I could be like, I own this bitch. And my friend can't be like, give it back. And I'm like, I won't.
I love the circumstance under which they're like, they come to you. They're like, Kelsey, I know this is unusual, but I actually can't give you. And you go, sorry.
Sorry,
you
sucker.
Hold up the paperwork and you go, that's my cum now.
Read it and weep.
Here's from your dick.
Dry your tears with this contract, bitch. Yeah, I thought that was exciting.
That is exciting. Is that something you're going to frame?
No, I'm going to put it in a file cabinet away, far away.
But that would be really funny to frame on like a bathroom wall. And like while people are like peeing or pooing, they're like, what is this? And like, semen.
Actually, that's what I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to keep it for my future frozen child.
Oh, the paperwork.
Yeah. And maybe I'll keep the cup he came in.
And screw you and the cup you came in. I also love the concept, like, what's the shelf life for frozen cum?
I think cum could stay good forever as long as it's frozen. I'm pretty sure. But the longer it's frozen, the less chances of survival.
Google it.
Oh,
just said Google it.
Yeah, you know what? You should Google that one if you have fertility questions.
Okay, if we have an extra, if we do have one for the go back and one for funsies, I think we should do like a time capsule and like bury it. And then when people dig it up in 482 years, they're like, we could bring back a human that's not as evolved as us. Like we'll be cavemen at some point.
Agreed. Like they'll be like, wow, they only had two thumbs.
Yeah, exactly, Kelsey.
Interesting. How do we get the device that stays frozen under the ground for that long?
Oh, we have the technology. Okay, I'll go on Amazon later.
So we're not doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. In my backyard?
Yeah.
Okay.
We probably just need some dry ice and like a Ziploc bag.
That's probably right. We're scientists.
Your makeup cooler fridge. The little fridge that keeps your makeup cold.
Why do you think I have one of those?
I've seen it.
I don't have that anymore.
I'll point it out to you.
Okay.
It's on your shelf.
That one's not a refrigerated one.
It looks like a refrigerator.
It looks like one, but it's not refrigerated.
Well, then don't gaslight me again.
Hey, you know what we haven't done in so long?
What?
A dating no filter. And can I say, I owe a quick apology to the confidants because back in the day when we used to be like, write us in or send us a voice note for dating no filter, a lot of them sent voice notes in and our podcast producer Hannah put them in a folder. Now, when I went into that folder, all I saw was a thumbnail, a picture. And I went, this dumb bitch Hannah put a picture. I don't talk to her like that. I'm sorry. I was doing it for the bit. I was like, why would she put a... Now I can't play the voice note. So I've been looking at this folder being like, what a waste of all these voice notes that people wrote in because all she did was take a picture of it. And what does she want me to do with a picture? Turns out I'm the dumb bitch because
I could have told you that
Hannah did not screenshot them. She screen recorded them playing. So she had them so ready to go.
Okay. I wouldn't have guessed that.
All that I had to do was tap on it and it would play live for us here. And so we have all these voice notes for Dating No Filters from people from like last year.
Problems that have long been solved or
run
their course. People who broke up with people because we didn't tell them not to.
Exactly. So I'm going to re-put out Dating No Filter. You guys send us your voice notes if you like and send us updated ones if you sent us one before. And let me know if you were one of those people who Hannah so preciously had ready prepared.
This is also, so you know, probably going to be a big portion of our live show.
Yeah, we want to give advice.
Dating No Filters.
We would love to give you advice.
So live. Bring your messiest girlfriend or boyfriend.
And give us your dirtiest downloads.
I'm like so excited too because I feel like the people who come are going to be like girls, gays, theys.
Yeah.
And Hundo. Like, I please urge you to bring a straight guy that we can sacrifice.
We will not start the show without sacrificing a straight man.
Yeah.
Okay, so this week's Dating No Filter. For some context, they're a 22-year-old bisexual female, she, her, they, who has always struggled with anger and negativity. They say, I'm quick to anger, and when I'm angry, it literally feels like every inch of my body is full of acid. It's hard for me to stop being angry, and I hold grudges maybe too well. I know it must come down to some desire for safety and self-preservation, some trust issue, a hurt ego, or something of the sort. I always hear people say that one can choose happiness, but it's hard for me to understand the concept of just choosing to feel differently. Like, I'm not a robot. I don't know. Long story short, I'm wondering if you guys have any insight as to how I can lean towards happiness, forgiveness, and positivity. Being so angry is so draining, but I fear if I lose my anger, I will lose my protection.
Damn.
That was raw.
That's a deep one.
Yeah. I fucking get this.
Oh, you do? So do you want to?
I mean, I just imagine when I hear this person talk about it, exactly what we were talking about earlier, which is like a teenage hormonal angry Southern white boy who, when they get upset and sad, they turn to anger. So they punch walls and they punch holes through things and they like hit themselves. Like when men hit themselves, I'm like, what a dumb bitch. Like, you guys are, instead of going to a therapist and dealing with your emotions, you're hitting yourself. But I imagine that this is kind of what that feels like, where you're like, I don't like that I do this,
sure. But
I don't have another outlet.
I completely agree. So I really do this because in early sobriety, when I was unmedicated, I would get these waves of anger and like, just like I would pull up everything I didn't like about myself or every mistake I had made. Sometimes people would trigger it like in traffic or whatever. Like, and I just didn't understand where it came from. I didn't really understand how to get out of it. I just had to kind of wait for it to pass. And I will say that since being sober, I take inventory constantly of how I'm feeling. And so for me, because I practice gratitude and because I like assess how I'm feeling a lot, I like go, oh, I feel really good right now. You're like, so the more I take note of when I feel good, I think it's easier to access that emotion or like talk yourself through the problem. Okay, I'm really angry. Why? If you can pinpoint a reason why, start there. Be like, okay, that sounds like so.
No, often the most like rudimentary advice is a good reminder of something.
Sure.
Like, I was thinking of offering the pause. We always talk about the pause being the fucking hardest thing. And when I snap, there's like no unsnapping me. And I haven't snapped in a very long time because I've learned how to manage my anger. But I used to like, if I used to get fucking pissed, it was like a switch. And I almost, like, my family almost villainized me for ever being angry. And so it fed my addiction of it because they would know, like, oh, here goes Kels. Like, she's so, and the whole day's ruined and her whole mood's ruined. And
then that just like made me more mad.
And
like,
then I believed it more.
Let me be upset.
Yes. And so, like, first of all, finding a safe space where you're allowed to feel angry. Yeah. Whether it's in your room fucking screaming or at the gym boxing or go to one of those angry rooms.
Or you call a friend and you go, can I vent?
Yes.
Or like, can I vent and then get your opinion?
Yes.
Or can I just vent? I need to get something out. I'm not looking for solutions.
The key though is to get it out of your body in a healthy way.
That's the difference sometimes between, I'm going to just lump it and say like straight guys and other people, where I think straight guys, like, they punch the thing, which releases some steam, but they don't deal with it.
Right.
They just kind of build. Let it. Yeah. It goes down temporarily. Other people, if like people who have access to their emotions or assessing things, they can unpack it later or can be like, I need to deal with this.
And like, it's,
I maybe shouldn't have gendered that, but it's what I see I do reflected think, in my community.
And in your reality. So yeah. It is true for you.
Totally.
I think also too, like we think anger is a bad thing. The same way we think sadness and heartbreak is a bad thing we're not supposed to feel. So I hear you getting on about yourself a little bit, like you don't like it, which then we, every time it happens, we kind of punish ourselves
for
it.
Of course.
Instead of just accepting, like right now I'm really fucking mad.
Yep.
And like, what can I do with this anger? Like, baby, the body keeps us go.
Yeah. Where is it coming from? What can I do? How often? And again, like I said, my thing was pre-medication. So I don't know if this person has a therapist or a psychiatrist or has access to any of those things. But you could, I feel like people who are anxious, like who run tightly, are quicker to any emotion they're overwhelmed.
And so, I was going to say same thing with ADHD. Like I get frustrated with someone very quickly. Like if they're taking too long to do this thing or if I'm done with the conversation and they're still talking, I'm over it. And there's no like snapping me back. So going to the pause, noticing that I'm doing that.
Everything's fine.
Everything's okay. I'm not in jeopardy.
No.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Wow. That was the best advice we've ever given.
I'm really curing.
We're ready for the tour, baby. but that's not what today's episode is about. Today's episode is about phone sex, and we will get right to it after this. The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can I can dress them up. I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey. Confidant, sober girlies, are you looking to cut back or cut out alcohol this year? Come on, join me and Zach on our sober journeys. Recess Zero Proof craft mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. We've recreated the cocktails you know and love, like a lime margarita and a grapefruit paloma, so you can enjoy the flavors and feelings of those cocktails without the booze. That's right, zero proof, zero compromise. Listeners can get 15% off the Recess mocktail sampler at takearecess.com/Kelsey. Each can is lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients like so many stress balancing adaptogens made with real fruit and only 25 calories or less. It's a guilt-free way to unwind. Whether you're relaxing after work or hanging out with friends, make Recess mocktails your drink between drinks or, like me, your forever mocktail. I am so obsessed with the ginger lime mule and also the grapefruit paloma for spring. It's my favorite go-to weekend drink. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/Kelsey so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. Finally, when we've done that, it makes sense. Today, we're talking about phone sex. And if you're listening to this in public, baby? I'm sorry.
What are you wearing? Is your cock hard?
Oh, wow. You kind of do sound like a woman.
Thank you. I get called ma'am constantly. And I'll go, and who am I speaking with? Zach Towers. All right, ma'am, what can I do for you today? Kelsey? One time it happened, I was like, I'm a sir. And they go, I don't know if they didn't hear it or they thought it was something else. And they go, okay, we can do that for sure. What's the issue, ma'am? I go, I'm a sir.
You just start phone sexing with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
You bad girl. You calling me boy? You gonna get a
spanking? Oh yeah, I get called ma'am. Okay. Phone sex. Sorry.
No, that was important.
Yes.
I first want to know, like, what is your experience with phone sex?
I am okay. I do not crave phone sex.
Hmm.
My experience with phone sex is mainly sexting. So I don't know if that fully counts.
It's on a phone.
It is on a phone.
When you're having sex.
And it's sexual. We'll get to this. Like, kind of the loose definition is like a sexual communication over a phone where maybe one person is experiencing something physical and or the other person is like divulging things they wouldn't normally, like fantasy. Oh. They're confessing something. They're playing something out. But no, my phone sex, I think it honestly is the most phone sex I think I've ever had was when I was like 19. This is like MySpace.
Barely legal.
MySpace days. Uh-huh. So I was communicating with all these gay men from around the country.
Uh-huh.
And like a big next step would be like, because nudes weren't even that popular.
Valuable.
Yeah. Or they just weren't
a thing
that big.
Yeah.
So you would exchange cells and you would text and like you would maybe have phone sex.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Similarly, my phone sex experience started in the youth. I remember this one memory when I was like writing about it this morning. I was like, oh my God, why was this so funny? We were probably 12 or 13 and there was a guy that there were two guys that me and my girl pal were friends with that were like neighborhood boys. You know, we would always meet up at the cul-de-sac with our bikes.
Were they
like,
hot or were they not sexual creatures?
We weren't sexual yet because they were like our buddies, our bros. But then, of course, like eventually when
they
we started,
playmates.
And stuff, we'd be like, let's make out. So at this age, we were just like developing rapport with boys. And so we had a sleepover one school night and like this was literally when you would like talk on the phone with people.
Oh yeah.
And nights we and had our own phone. Me and my sister had our own phone line.
Or it was shared.
Like the back house was our line and the front house was my parents. So we like weren't worried about our parents listening in. So one night we were just talking with the boys and we were playing truth or dare over the phone. And his name was Andrew. Shout out, Andrew. He said, truth or dare? And we said, dare. And he said, I dare you to put the phone on your pussy.
It's like when someone's on vacation, they're like, put my dog on the phone. Like, put Baxter on the phone. And that you just hold the phone up to Baxter, and Baxter just like...
Literally.
What did he expect to hear?
Okay. And you just hear...
Good thing it wasn't like a
and that was like I think what I thought that was phone sex and like we were crazy and then like obviously that was not phone sex but
also did your sister then put the phone up to her face again
it wasn't my sister it was my friend
or
that
you
we were
and
over.
Your sister were phone sex.
No, it was me and my gal pal.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, me and my sister didn't want to hang out with us.
She never knew. She probably put that pussy phone right up against her
face. Well, we had our own in our room. Like, she had her phone, I had mine. We put stickers on it and stuff. Yeah.
And vaginas.
But then as I got older, obviously, I was never a big fan of phone sex because I didn't know how to dirty talk. And I wasn't sure if I liked it yet. And as I started to learn about my kinks and like, now I fucking love it because it still feels so naughty to me. It still feels like such a like vintage naughty like.
Well, it is because people still don't talk about sex that much.
You're right.
So when someone says like, oh, like my dick's really hard thinking about your mouth on it. And you're like, I'm at work.
Yes. And like fucking hearing someone's voice because let me tell you, the voice does matter. Yeah. Like, I've always picked dudes except for Sir. He had a really, like, squeaky voice, I think. I've always picked dudes with like really deep voices.
I mean, Athlete has a deep voice.
A deep voice, and he's got kind of an accent.
He's definitely got an accent.
So the way he dirty talks is so different than what he'll be like, I can't even do it. He'll be like, are you good? I can't do it.
I never see you get flustered.
I'm going to try and do it. Like, okay, imagine it's like a Canadian-ish, European-ish accent. And oh my God.
Wait, first of all, what's a Canadian-ish accent?
Like, it would be like, oh my God, I can't do it. I'm so nervous. I wonder if I can get him to say it. Wait. I wonder if I can get him to say it. Where's my phone?
No, you're being wild right now. You can't even call him.
I can FaceTime audio him.
Okay.
I don't know if he'll do it. Let's see. I'll call him down.
This is live podcasting, people. You can expect this and so much more if you come to the New York City Winery February 6th or the Philly Winery February 7th. I almost said Dating No Filter Live. Confidently Insecure Live. I will say, a man who's confident enough to like do the dirty talk thing, it's a confidence thing. Because it's like being like, oh, I'm...
Especially if you're not good at like writing or imagining. Can I... You're live on the podcast, so don't say your name. But can I ask you a favor?
Of course.
Of course.
We're talking about phone sex, and I was trying to describe why your voice is so sexy in sex, because it's kind of got an accent. And Canadians kind of like end their sentences on an up note rather than like, come for me. It's like,
come for me.
He asked a question at the end of it. That's what gets you going.
See, do you hear it?
Well, he asked a question there. He went, that's what gets you going.
Like, you like that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, can you please give me one soundbite of a sex line?
No, do you want me to pull out the big guns?
Ooh. Yes.
Can you be a good girl for me?
Okay, oh, I gotta go. Okay. Bye. Bye. Oh my God, I just came.
I think a lot of our listeners just came too.
Wow.
Did he say, can you be a good girl for me?
Yeah.
What's that entail, Daddy?
I'm sweating. I'm literally
from your vagina,
sweating.
You're also under a heated blanket.
I can't. There's something about the accent that fucks me up.
Well, yeah, of course. That's like 101 attraction.
Yeah.
And he's got a sexy accent. I don't think, oh my God, I don't be mad. I don't think British accents do the same thing for me.
Really?
No, it's too polite. Maybe one of the trashier British
You're
ones.
You're not hooking up with trashy enough British.
Okay. Oi, I want like the
oi, yeah,
only
you
way
fucking,
it's Essex.
You
yeah,
fucking
yeah, yeah.
Little fuck.
You slag.
You dirty whore.
Whore.
Yeah.
You gonna suck daddy's cock.
Okay, give me your best.
No. I already refuse.
Give me your best line. I want to know what it is.
My best line?
On phone sex.
Oh, you see, but I haven't done it since MySpace days.
You haven't phone sexed since MySpace?
No.
Oh, well, now we absolutely need to know.
What?
I have to hear it.
What the? I don't have a line.
Dust it off, baby. Come up with something. Improv. You're a comedian.
So it's supposed to be funny?
No. I just mean you're quick on your feet.
God, I really am blanking. Probably talking to something about how like tight my hole is, and like,
ooh.
Maybe I'd have been like, you have to go slow, like just like one finger. Yeah.
Oh, you're very descriptive.
Oh, well, okay. So this I will say, and I remember this. Part of what I didn't like was that some people would get to it too fast, and then you're like, yeah, now you're pounding me. Still,
no,
and,
absolutely. And rule number one, foreplay matters in phone sex.
You could have just stopped after matters. Foreplay matters. I will die on this hill. Foreplay should be
longer.
80% of the sexual experience.
Foreplay matters should be our merch, and we should have it like on candles with like praying hands. Foreplay matters.
All foreplay matters.
No, that now you took it. No, now you took it too far.
I know.
But foreplay that, matters.
I was trying to think of when matters. I was like, this sounds familiar. But it's like, well, I'm trying to think. But foreplay matters
I'm
is.
Dead.
Yes.
Okay. But also my most recent LOL moment with phone sex was, and it's something involving Sir, so I'm not thrilled to say this, but it was very funny.
Yeah.
I called him once, or actually I texted him, or no, not true. I sent a 3-minute voice note about how, hey, there's something I haven't told you. I just got out of a relationship and it was a really long, intense one. And it was like very public. And there's, we're releasing an episode tomorrow about it. And like, I know I have not told you anything about this and I'm sorry. And I'm maybe not sorry, but also I'm nervous about what you might think. And we just started talking and blah, 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 blah. He immediately calls me and he's like, why do you feel nervous? Like, I support you. Da, 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 da. Immediately started having phone sex in the car outside of my dog's veterinary clinic.
And he was on speaker.
Yeah.
You know, we can hear that outside the car. You know that.
In my Tessie?
Yes.
I was phone sexing and he came and that was my
the
most
vet
recent.
Or?
Well, not my place to say.
Wow. And did he come easily?
Yeah. He's a big auditory person.
Oh.
And so am I.
I think a lot of people are, but we just don't get it.
Can I tell you the thing that I hate the most about my automatic response to auditory?
Sure.
I say all the time during like hooking up and sex, male, female, non-binary, it's always, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, my fucking God. Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Oh, shit and oh, fuck are like.
Like you're dropping things?
Literally. Oh, shit.
Or bumping into furniture?
Oh, shit. Fuck, yes. Oh,
oh yeah,
fuck.
No. I don't say either of those that much.
That is, it's overwhelming of the conversation, and I'd like it to change.
Maybe we need to get you a ball gag.
Or a dictionary.
A thesaurus.
A thesaurus.
Isn't that where they tell you alternate words?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get you a fucking thesaurus.
No, I need the dictionary.
Shit. What's an alternate word for a thesaurus? Okay, you have some
I've
history.
I've done some history of phone sex.
And then I have a fun game we're going to play.
Okay, so then this is interesting to me. The editor of High Society magazine, Gloria Leonard, is credited with being one of the first people to use 976 or 900 numbers for promotional purposes.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes. Leonard recorded her own voice informing callers of the contents of the next issue of High Society magazine before its publication. Later, she recorded others such as Annie Sprinkle talking sexy.
Oh.
Leonard convinced magazine owner Carl Ruderman to purchase more of these numbers, and the business began to be successful using the magazine to promote the service. Originally, phone sex services consisted of a managed network of dispatchers, live or automated, and erotic performers. Performers would come to a studio where they received a cubicle, coaching, and cash incentives to keep the callers on the line longer.
Oh my God. I love that.
Right?
That
going to the
cubicle?
Office? Like, that's actually a good sitcom or a good, like, HBO.
Yes.
Apparently, this world is portrayed in Spike Lee's Girl 6.
I haven't seen it.
Maybe we should watch it.
We should.
Okay, with the progress of technology, it became more practical, convenient, and economical for providers to work out of their homes. So then human dispatchers, not automated ones, answered the advertised phone numbers, processed payment via credit card, chose who of the available performers in the dispatcher's judge best matched the client's fantasy. So they're like, are you looking for like an older woman? Are you looking for like a school, not school girl, but you know what I mean?
A
like
school that, teacher. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
A boss's assistant.
Yeah, yeah. Secretary. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And they'd match them and then connected the client with the provider. The caller could not see the performer's number. Either person could hang up, though obviously these services pressured the performers to keep the callers on as long as possible.
Yeah.
Originally, per minute billing was provided by phone companies in the U.S. using 976 and then 900 numbers. There was, from some services, an attempt to keep the caller aroused but short of orgasm so they would spend more money.
Oh, my God. They were literally blue-balling them.
They were edging them.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
When public Most of Human Pressure forced the phone companies to stop providing the service to sex workers, a transition was made to a manual method, prepaid blocks of time. So you'd pay for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 60 minutes. And then the incentive immediately switched. They were like, get these guys to come as fast as possible. So if they paid for 30 minutes, you get them to come in 16.
Oh my God. Think about that transition.
Yeah.
You go from like, I want you to explode. And you're like, you fucking stick your cock in my ass and you're coming right now, bitch.
You pussy. Come at me.
Come at me. My cat just ran away.
These platforms still exist. In the past 10 years, the biggest ones are Night Flirt, Talk to Me. That was a horror movie, wasn't it?
It was.
And My Phone Site.
Okay. Cute.
I'm almost done.
Oh, okay.
By the end of the 1980s, nearly all major local phone companies in the United States, plus major long-distance carriers, were actively involved in the adult chat line business.
Wow.
Typically, the phone companies would bill callers to chat lines and then remit 45% of the money collected.
Whoa.
The telephone companies placed the chat line charges on a customer's phone bill. If a customer disputed a charge, the telephone company forgave the charge, but blocked that caller from ever using 900 numbers again.
Oh, whoa.
It's like, oh, you want to play this game? You can't make up.
Smart. I like that the sex workers won.
In 1988, the American phone and sex industry generated an estimated $54 million annually. That was in 88. In 2002, do you want to guess how much?
A billion.
Yes.
Yes. I've never been right about anything like that.
Yep. In 2007, the group Citizens Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, estimated that phone sex earned U.S. telephone companies close to $500 million per year.
Wow. Okay. But also just going back to the idea of like you could dispute something, but then you get blocked. If I was a sex worker that was really just fucking hustling, I would charge them for like $500 and then they would dispute it and block me so they can't talk to me ever again.
Turn and burn, baby.
Turn and burn. Wow, fascinating.
I also fucking love the whole dispatcher thing.
Oh, the guy
they, like,
who's
call
like...
call and get the information. Like, what are you looking for tonight, yeah, hon? And you're like, I've got candy cane on, yes, you know, line six.
And she's got a lollipop for some reason.
And just she's like, an elf. She's
hi.
An elf. Yeah. Hi, I'm Candy.
I cannot believe you said she's an elf because that does have to do with my game about phone sex.
Okay. The legality of phone sex businesses was challenged by the U.S. federal government in July of 1988.
Government, get out.
With the passage of the Telephone Decency Act, which made it a crime to use a telephone directly or by recording device to make any obscene or indecent communication commercial purposes to any person.
Get fucked, government.
Punishable by a $50,000 fine or 6 months in prison.
What are you in for? Candy cane.
Help me jerk off.
She was her sweet, sweet voice. I miss her.
She said her pussy tastes like eggnog, and I believed her. Now I'm in jail. At the time, the FCC, or the Federal Communications Commission, was responsible for policing 900 numbers for obscenity and indecency. So I'm guessing they like listened in to make sure.
They were literally using government money to put the CIA on wiretapping for phone sex.
Yep.
What a waste of time.
I know.
And resources.
We could have healthcare, but
imagine.
No. Sable Communications of California filed a suit against the FCC in federal court to overturn the Telephone Decency Act. On July 19th, 1988, U.S. District Judge A. Wallace Tashima ruled that the prohibition against indecent speech on 900 numbers was unconstitutional, though its ban on obscene speech could stand. On June 23rd, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that obscene speech, even in commercial telephone calls, was not protected, though indecent speech was.
That makes no sense in freedom of speech.
It's like one of those things where it's like
stupid.
Obscene, no. Indecent, yes.
Okay. So you could only be violent? You couldn't?
I don't know.
Sexual?
I actually, in all this, I did not look up the definition of obscene versus indecent. Obscene might be like...
wild.
Yes.
I'm like, gonna shit on your chest.
I'm gonna, you know, fuck this goat and then, you know, drink its milk.
That is obscene. And it's not indecent because it's a goat.
Okay, that and Orbit's gum. I don't know why those are two are floating at the top
of
my head.
It's okay. The subconscious is a weird place.
But okay, so today PSOs or phone sex operators are still a thing, but many use it in addition to like camming.
Yes.
It's like that when we got visual and stuff, it changed totally. And the last thing I have here is that, did you know there's a university for...
No.
Yeah. Central University has a program for like adult sex workers.
To take, to be good.
Yeah.
I want to take it immediately.
To do the business. It's the Central University, from what I could tell, was for online entrepreneurs.
Wow.
Like people who want to be influencers and do stuff like that. It teaches you like...
I immediately am going to up my game. No more, oh shit, fuck, coming out of this hole.
Oh,
I'm getting creative now.
Now, if you can teach your pussy to say, oh shit, fuck.
You guys sound like Ernest Hemingway. Oh, VFP.
I'm such a fan of, I am such a fan of moans and little like whimpers, like, like almost like he's hurting me, like,
If a guy, please, if you have a man in your life or you are a man, make more noise. It's so fucking helpful for us.
It is. I will say, I think I'm getting to the point where, like, obviously I'm in my late 30s. That's so crazy to say. And like auditory reinforcement gets me there so much faster.
I'm so glad you said that, Zachary, because now it's time for my game. My game. I love audio porn. I've talked about that uprising in my life on the pod before. I think it is so fun. It's something where when I am home alone, I'll still put headphones on because it just feels different. It's like a more sensory experience.
Can I say I put on headphones when I'm watching porn?
Huh.
I like it right in my ear.
You live alone.
I live alone.
Interesting.
Many rooms to come in. Although my walls are paper thin, so I think I have a little bit of like secondhand like
nerviness.
What if people are in the parking lot and they can like hear, you know, oh, oh, fuck, fuck, yeah, boy, open your mouth.
You're watching Trucker Porn. Okay, so I went through my own personal collection of audio porn, and we are going to play a game where you're going to guess which audio porn title is fake. Which one is the fake one? You're going to get three options, and we have three questions.
Okay.
Okay, so number one, Passionate Projections, The Weather Forecaster's Stormy Affair. Number two, Stuffing a Short Stack Elf and Turning Her into a Leftist Slut.
I need that one to be real.
Or number three, Free Use Barista Serves You Under the Table for Hot Coffee Cum.
I think the third one's not real.
That is incorrect.
Damn
the
it.
Free Use Barista Serves You Under the Table for Hot Coffee Cum is real.
This is the first one not real?
The first one. The tame the one tame. Is the fake one. I made that one up. Passionate Projections, The Weather Forecaster's Stormy Affair.
Damn.
Yeah, but Stuffing a Short Stack Elf and Turning Her into a Leftist Slut? One of my faves.
Wait, are elves inherently right-winged?
Today I learned.
That would be crazy if we found out that like elves are actually like the root of most like socioeconomic problems.
It feels like Santa would be Republican, doesn't it?
Kind
of
does.
A white guy in charge of a bunch of people making them do
but
things.
I could also see him being like obsessed with eating twink ass.
Well, aren't most Republicans closeted?
Facts. Moving on.
Okay, number two. The first title. Your busy, neglectful wife reprioritizes her values after you ask for a divorce.
God, that is so deep. And also, is that one geared towards men?
Yes. Number two, a fairy gets stuck in your fractal spell with fractal magic, fairy copies, so many fairies, group, sort of meditation, technically female, 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 for male.
That one's real.
Or number three, the plumber's deep piping.
Damn it. Now I feel like you're going to trick me because that's the most basic one. I'm going to say three is not real then.
You're correct.
Thank
three.
You.
So your neglectful wife and a fairy get stuck in your fractal spell.
Here's
all
the
real.
Thing. If I am a connoisseur of this type of porn.
I want variety.
Right. So I'm going to be like, a plumber one, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what I haven't heard, where you're going to put that wrench, keep going.
Yeah, I want fractal magic.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. So far, you're 50-50. These ones were as short as I could find. Number one, dirty sock sub.
Okay.
Number two, jerking your cat boy maid.
I think that's real. From what I know of my brother's a furry, and we had a home computer, like a family computer, and I'd like stumble upon his porn.
Wow.
And it would be like a girl dog sitting, and at midnight, the dog would turn into like a half man and fuck her.
Wow.
And the dog's name was Zachary. Moving on.
No!
Yeah.
We got to unpack that later.
I refuse.
Okay.
I am not doing the work on that.
So dirty sock sub, jerking your cowboy maid, or a mermaid grants your last request as you drown.
I think number one's fake.
Dirty sock sub.
Is fake?
Nope, it's a mermaid grants
your last request. You're too much of a creative.
To trick you. Because
there's the thing. No, yeah.
I'm too creative.
I even thought the fractal woman
could be.
I was like, oh, fuck, she knows how like porn is like translated by like a different language's AI. It's like
my favorite in the title was sort of meditation. Because you know what? When I'm jerking it to fairies, I do want to be relaxed.
If you're jerking it to fairies and you're not relaxed, there's something wrong with the creator. Yeah.
Zachary, that was, I think, one of our best episodes.
Oh, God. That's, you know what you just did? You just fumbled on the, like, 1 yard line or whatever they say.
That was exactly fumbling on. I literally was saying that was one of our best episodes ever of the year, but then realized it's the top of the year, too.
Maybe it will be the best episode still. No. Maybe it'll be the worst episode of the year.
They only get better from here. If you're not coming to our fucking live show after that in New York City and Philly, get out of here.
Yeah, one lucky person will get a vial of Kelsey's cum.
My to-go bag cum. Go buy Tickies and rate it 5 stars to get rid of that Canadian angry woman about the cruise ships.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week. Happy New Year!